this morning, I want to, oftentimes somebody stands up here and they lecture to you, and I'm going to do some of that this morning, but this is a participation Sunday. You didn't know that walking into this, but you are going to participate in what we're doing and what we're about to do. So just be in mind, to have that in mind, that you're going to actively participate this morning. Hey, we've been talking about this thing called thankfulness. We started last week. Thanksgiving gets, I said this last week, it gets crunched in between like Halloween and Christmas, and oftentimes it gets overshadowed. And I didn't want it to be overshadowed this year. I really wanted us to own this thing called thankfulness and what it means to be thankful. And so we did this whole series on the vision, where we're going, what we're doing. And then last week we started with this concept of contentment. That in order to be thankful, there has to be this base of contentment where you're content in the fact that God is who he said he was and he wants to be in your life. And out of that, several responses come. And all those responses should come and need to come. But in order to take it to the fullest extent of living it out, I think it's got to be spoken out of our mouths. Right? And so being thankful needs to be put into words. Otherwise, it just sits in here. And that's great. It's good in your soul. But when it comes out, I really believe that something powerful happens this morning. So this morning, you're actively going to participate in giving thanks, just so you know. All right? So we're going to be looking at Psalm 118. Pull up in your phones, your Bibles, whatever you need to do to find Psalm 118. Your tablets, if you didn't bring a Bible or a phone, which is strange in this time and day and age. But anyway, there's a Bible in front of you. Page 597 is Psalm 118. And we're going to be looking at Psalm 118. If I package this whole thing into one phrase, it's this: give thanks. Give thanks is going to be the outcome of this morning, right? If I've done my job right and you've actively participated this morning, then the outcome of this morning, what you're going to put into action, is giving thanks. All right? And this passage starts and ends with this in mind. It says in verse 1, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Let me say it again. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Let Israel say his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say his love endures forever." While I'm preaching this morning, I want you to think about the things that you're thankful for. And I'm going to throw three different sections of being thankful out to you to have you think about as we're going through this morning, okay? So in your mind right now, begin to think of the things that you're thankful for. Some of you are holding babies, and you're either thankful that they're there or you're struggling because you're not getting a whole lot of sleep. It's a 50-50 toss-up. But if we think about it hard, there's things in our lives that we're thoroughly thankful for, right? Jordan this week, he said to me, "Dad, I can't wait for Thanksgiving." And I'm like, "Oh, because it's your birthday." And he said, "No, because then we get to eat turkey." I'm like, "Oh, that's strange. Turkey is not his favorite. If in the list of meat, turkey is not at the top. It goes bacon, steak, chicken nuggets, right? Then beef is in there. And then maybe, ham. Got a ham because that's pig too. And then turkey's down there." So I said, "Turkey? Why turkey?" And he goes, "Because then we get to get them back for breaking our window." If you're not laughing, you need to know the rest of the story. We had a turkey fly through our living room window, shatter the window, all over our house. I mean, it was just glass everywhere, flopping around until it died. And so, it's a very simple request from a child. "I'm thankful, Lord, we get to give them back." Clearly, I haven't done my job well about "vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Do not repay evil for evil." But there's things we're thankful for, and they're good and bad, right? And looking at this passage, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever." It's this concept of throwing or shooting or casting. Apparently, I say this phrase a lot. "Let's throw down." I don't even realize I do this sometimes. I'm like, "Okay, well, let's throw down. We're about to pray. We're about to go after some stuff. Let's throw down. Let's right now. If I'm talking about the enemy, this thing comes in. Okay, come on. Let's throw down. But this is the concept of throwing or casting praise back to God. Let's throw down and give him the praise that he's due. Let's start there. Let's give God praise. May that forever change that phrase for you when you hear that phrase, let's throw down. May you think of God and giving him praise. Augustine says it this way, praise of God could not be expressed in fewer words than these, for he is good. Ooh. And this concept of love here that's described, it's really this concept of loving kindness. It's kindness that comes from God that's motivated by love. The kindness of the Lord is motivated by love from the Father. And so before we go any further in this concept of giving praise, giving thanks, being thankful, it has to start here. Lord, I give you thanks. I throw down right now in thankfulness to you. You are so, so good. Your love endures forever. And then it gets a little rocky. And we get into this section where the psalmist talks about giving praise to God in times of trouble. And we've got times of trouble all around us in the world right now. And he begins to lay out this concept of giving praise in the midst of troubled times. So right now, as I'm going through this next section of scripture, I want you to think about a rough time in your life, a rough situation. Maybe you're going through one right now. I want you to feel that, own it, grab onto it, hold onto it as we read this section of scripture. I want you to own those feelings, and I'm going to give you an action step in a minute. This is what it says. In my anguish, I cried out to the Lord in verse 5. He answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surround me, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surround me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They swarm around me like bees, but they died out as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. He starts and ends it. With prayer. He starts and ends it with thanking the Lord. In the midst of all this, he's focusing on this one thing, the Lord is with me. Twice in this section it says, the Lord is with me. Twice in this section it says, I take refuge in him. Then what can man do? I can't put my ultimate trust in man. I have to understand and take refuge in the Lord. And this concept of refuge is fleeing for protection and putting your trust in God. Have you ever felt like in your life, like you're surrounded on every side? Fear has so consumed you, life has so consumed you, that it feels like you're surrounded on every side. Your world has fallen apart. And it just feels like the whole thing is caving in. In the midst of that, the psalmist says, I will take refuge in the Lord. In the midst of all that, on his mouth is words of praise, giving thanks to God. In the midst of all that trouble, in this phrase, I think is so powerful, in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. In all your troubles, in all your pain, in all your difficulties, I know this one simple truth, that the Lord will cut them off. If we shift the other way, we get in this concept and this consuming by this thing called fear. And so I think fear and doubt and despair take over when we no longer believe that God is in control and we no longer trust him. Let me say it again. I think fear and doubt and despair take over when we no longer believe in God and that he's in control. And so fear leads us into this place of darkness, but giving thanks leads us into this place of light. And so if we look at this in context, the Lord becomes the refuge for the refugee when they call on his name and say no to fear. Let me say that again. The Lord becomes the refuge when the refugee calls on his name and says no to fear. Our social media, our news channels, everything this week has been shouted, magnified with this thing called fear. And fear leads us into a very, very dark place. And we need to get our focus back here so that he can lead us into light. I get to see firsthand what it looks like for someone to leave Syria and come into a place of refuge. I get to see firsthand refugees crossing the border in tens of thousands in the country of Jordan. And I watched as open arms the Jordanians took them in. There's all this fighting, all this battle, all this chaos going on. And I watched the Jordanians go, come on. You can meet any Jordanian on the street for the first time and you'll get invited over to their house because they have this unwritten motto that says, you are with friends. And imagine, church, if we pushed away all the fear, despair, and chaos and had our mindset, the same mindset as that as Christ, and said, you are with friends. If we looked around at the people around us who are in the midst of chaos and despair, because we have our own before we take others, we have our own too. Imagine if we settled into this thing called contentment in Christ and pushed fear aside and had a response of this to those around us who were steeped in this thing called fear. And maybe today, this morning, you're in the middle of this thing in your life that's chaos and despair and fear and turmoil, and you don't know what the outcome is. I asked you before, I want you to own it, let it settle in. Maybe it's now, maybe it was in the past. We're all going to do this together. This is your first participation. Despite all that, I give you thanks. Own it, whatever that is, whatever that fear thing is, whatever that chaos thing is, whatever that hurt, whatever that pain, whatever that wound, whatever that despair is, let it all settle in. And when I count to three, we're going to say, despite all that, I give you thanks. Because I think there's something powerful that takes place when we open up our mouths and give God praise. When we open up our mouths and give God thanks. Victory, I believe, is taken away from fear, despair, and chaos, and given back to the Lord. On the count of three, despite all that, I give you thanks. Ready? One, two, three. Despite all that, I give you thanks. When we say no to the enemy of our soul and we say yes to God, something breaks in the universe and the Lord Jesus cuts it off. And then we get into this section. The chaos is gone. Prayer has been answered. This is the response of the psalmist. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy. Choir. This is good. You didn't even know it. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of righteousness. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live. I will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness, and I will enter in and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. I know this is not proper English, but this is what came to mind when I was reading this passage. Praising God in good times makes the good times get going and the times of fear get gone. Praising God in good times makes the good times get going and the times of fear get gone. It's time to tell the times of fear to get going. Get out of here and settle in to the things of God. And I think sometimes when things are going good, we forget to give him thanks. It's so good, and then all of a sudden turmoil and chaos comes back and we go, oh, Jesus, please help me. Oh, God, please. I pray for this. And I'm not God, and I'm glad I'm not. Because if I was, I'd be like, what about when all the good times were happening? What about that, mister? You only want me when it's crazy out. What about right now when things are going really good? Let's give him praise. So this is what I want you to do. Right now, this is the second act of participation this morning. I know you didn't sign up for this, but you're signing up because you walked through the door. I want you to turn to your neighbor, and it's, some of you need to tailor this, all right? Because you're going to want to go, I know, translation, really long story. All right, I want you to turn to a neighbor, and I want you to tell them about a time when God answered prayer. Giving thanks for God in times of good. Turn to your neighbor right now and tell them about time God answered prayer. Go. Thirty more seconds. Oh, so good. All right, wrap it up. Some of you need to finish those stories. This is always dangerous. All right. I would love, I mean, Sound guys, man, I would love this at one point. Like, I would love people, somebody to do research on this. I really think there is a different noise when people are giving thanks and praise to God than when people are just talking in a room. It just sounds different to me. I don't know what it is. I don't know if that's real or not. I would love us to do this at some point. Just, like, record a room of people talking and then, like, record. Martin, maybe this is, we can get a team on this. Of, like, when people are giving God praise, there's a different sound. Like, I looked out at you guys while you're doing this, and there was, like, just the, like, these little smiles creep in. Some of you are in tears, and there's, like, just some warm fuzzies going on in your soul. There's something different when we're praising God for what he's done. All right. So, that piece. Second corporate response. For these things we give you thanks. For these things we give you thanks. Ready? One, two, three. For these things we give you thanks. There's something different in that sound. There just is. And I feel like in the realm of the universe and spiritual things, when we do stuff like that, the things of the enemy get cut off and the things of God get proclaimed. And then the psalmist keeps going, right? So we have this, in times of trouble, for answered prayer, and then this outcome of this is this joyous, like, some of you, we'll get you there. Yeah, we're still not. Okay, so let's read this. The stone the builder rejected has become the capstone, verse 22. The Lord has done this. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, for the house of the Lord will be blessed. The Lord is God, and he has made light to shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Can you see this momentum taking place? I give you thanks. I give you thanks in times of trouble. I give you thanks in answered prayer. Now I give you thanks from all of me, all of me. And there's these hidden nuggets in there of prophecy to the future, because Jesus is known as the capstone and the cornerstone who was rejected. And in his triumphal entry, they ripped off palm branches, boughs, and they waved them in festive embrace. And the altar of the Lord was where the sprinkling of the blood was sprinkled for the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus, his blood has been sprinkled all over you and me for the forgiveness of sins. So we give God praise because he's God. And we give God praise in times of trouble. And we give God praise for answered prayer. And we give God praise because Jesus. Jesus is the trump card for everything, not just Sunday school answers. Because Jesus, I give you praise. And so I see this. We need Jesus to juxtapose fear. Because Jesus. There are so many opportunities for me in my life to complain about everything that's going on. I was sick all week. Half the week I was in bed with a sinus infection. I got woken up in the middle of the night with a pounding headache like 4 out of 5 nights this week. And in the midst of all that, I entered into these times of prayer. So sometimes I thank the Lord for headaches because I know I still have a head. So Sometimes I think we need to thank the Lord for tickets because we still need to learn patience. We can look at all the chaos in the world and get consumed and wrapped up right into it and enter into this thing called despair and chaos and fear. Or we can choose in to Jesus, be content and trusting that he is who he said he was, and allow that to dictate our actions, our thoughts, our lives, and let him cut off all the junk and respond in praise. Because Jesus. And then in conclusion to all this, the psalmist says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. So this is your last corporate response together. Verse 29. We're going to say it in a minute. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Ready? One, two, three. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. That we need to do that one again. One, two, three. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Whoa. Maddie, why don't you come up? Where'd she go? Maddie, why don't you come up here? I think in order to motivate us, maybe a little bit more, maybe you weren't motivated enough. So we'll have Maddie motivate you this morning into an art of this thing called thankfulness. And as they prep, let me just pray. Lord Jesus, you are so, so good, and your love endures forever. I pray your mercy and your loving kindness and your praise upon your people. May they feel, embrace, encounter the love of your Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Maddie, motivate us.
My lips will praise, for in the midst of my brokenness, sin, shame, and hopelessness, as I engage in the darkness that fear wouldn't allow me to confess, with the power of your love, you stepped into my grave to possess me. When I was least desirable, you blessed me. You stood before me as a shield and destroyed all of my enemies. You took over my whole being with your divine entity, and you put to death all that created an enmity between us. When I knew no grace, you sent Jesus. For in your holiness, you heard my cry. And because you had already sent your son to die, though I was condemned by sin to death, you gave me your life. I was blind like Stevie, and you gave me new eyes. Like the sun awakens every morning, with you I rise from the dark night. And as I wait for you to iron all my troubles in the stark fight, my lips will praise. And I will continuously fix my gaze. Though I stand here shackled by my past, broken bones and broken promises with no cast, shattered dreams and sleepless nights that seem to outlast the joy in the morning, for even in the memories I am an outcast, and yet my lips will praise you. Though my soul grieves its losses, I hang on because you gave truth that through the testing of fire has always proven faithful. And so I choose to suffer well and cry out from the cell of codependency. I have no time for foolish words or pleasantries. I am a fool to think that I could fill this void elsewhere. And for that, I am suffering the penalty. For your jealousy sings a melody that calls me out of my complacency into true identity. And though the enemies of my soul are out to devour me, I cry, for you are the wall towering over me, protecting my fragile heart that's still contaminated with idolatry. And so I cut them off. Those things will no longer have a part of me. I write psalms and I pen down poetry as I await the fulfillment of your prophecy that all impurity in me you will take out so that you could satisfy me with food for my soul to eat, and so I await for a quick delivery. I am hungry and thirsty. My tank is on empty. I can't get to a gas station and AAA won't help me. I have been a zombie, eating of the flesh, to the point where the smell of rotting death has become enmeshed with me. But despite all of that, I give you thanks, and my lips will praise. For if you could raise Jesus from the grave, you have the power to save me. You are the original Tomb Raider. Lara Croft has nothing on you. The Force is with you, and you have destroyed even the greatest of our enemies, Darth Vader. When you broke that bread and wine, you did more than a lamb could during that Passover Seder. So my lips will praise you. When my heart is overwhelmed, my lips will praise you. When I don't understand and I've lost control of the helm, my lips will praise you. When the promises come true and my life is beautiful and good, my lips will praise you. When you don't heal a loved one as I think that you should, my lips will praise you. When I remember all that you have done, my lips will praise you. When the fog of life doesn't allow me to see what's to come, my lips will praise you. When my heart is once again broken, my lips will praise you. When you don't meet the expectations that I've left unspoken, my lips will praise you. When the debt is more than what my check could pay, my lips will praise you. When pain and bitterness tempts to pierce every word that I say, my lips will praise you. When a loved one loses their faith and goes astray, my lips will praise you. When it doesn't look like you are going to save, my lips will praise you. When I have more than I can dream, think, or imagine, my lips will praise you. When your love for me fills me with passion, my lips will praise you. I will praise you for what you have done, for you will do it again. You are a faithful friend. With you, nothing is wasted. There is no trash in the kingdom, for you recycle everything that we face, and you have done what you promised for those who have patiently waited. With praise continuously on my lips, my heart won't be jaded or tainted by the hardships of life. For through praise, my eyes will see all the painful memories faded, and with love and truth shaded to shine you. Like an old photograph restored to look brand new, for like the morning dew, your presence rests on a heart that praises you for all that you do in spirit and truth. So may in every season and circumstance you hear the lyric of my truth and my youth that I give you thanks. My lips will praise, my lips will praise you, for you are worthy, and though I am weak and lowly, you love me. And so I give you thanks. My lips will praise you. For your forever love, my lips will praise you.